good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy Monday show for you today. Retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack is going to be joining us at 10:33 after the 10:30 news. He is with an organization called National Security Leaders for America, and we have been talking to one of their members just about every month for the last 4 months. And we're going to be focusing with retired Rear Admiral Seestack on Project 2025 and what that would do to the military and what that would translate down to mean for us.
Yeah.
Just as regular citizens.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope you will stick around for that conversation. It should be very, very interesting. And then at 11:33, Session Chetta is with the Office of the State Superintendent. Big surprise, the legislature is still sitting on money that is supposed to be going out for this new reading program.
Mm-hmm.
School starts soon.
Very soon.
And yet that money has not been spent.
What?
I know.
Speaking of money being spent, today is election day, too. Oh, tomorrow's election.
Tomorrow's election
day. My goodness. I voted already, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. You voted early. That's good. I'm going to be voting tomorrow.
Yeah, you are.
Very, very important primary election, no matter where you are in Wisconsin. There are two state constitutional amendments that will change the state constitution and essentially take the power of the purse when it comes to federal emergency dollars, take that away from the governor's office and give it to the legislature because they don't have enough power, especially over how money gets spent.
Yeah.
Or when it gets spent, if it ever gets spent.
Mm-hmm.
Vote no.
Vote no. Yeah. I mean, I think
that would be a good idea.
If you hear people talking about give the governor a slush fund, it's a lie. That's a lie. There's no, it's a lie. I would say the best way of putting it was a gentleman named Kid Riles on Twitter said this regarding tomorrow's constitutional amendment questions. Think of it this way. Do you want Robin Voss, who represents one of 99 districts and has an approval rating of 16%,
wow,
to be in charge of all federal dollars we receive? Do you want that?
It's a really good way to put
it. That's a great way of putting it, honestly.
It absolutely is.
Yep.
And when you consider that when we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic and Governor Evers got these emergency federal dollars,
yeah,
what did our Republican-led legislature do?
They took that little hammer. They gaveled it once. They said, we're here. Gaveled it twice. We're done. And they walked away.
And they walked away for months.
And thousands of people in Wisconsin died from COVID.
Yes. So just keep that in mind. Make sure you vote.
Mm-hmm.
Myvote.wi.gov. There are voter purges happening in some states across the country, including, yes, in Texas, I've recently read, and in Florida. Make sure you are still registered. Make,
yes,
sure you haven't been bumped off the voter rolls, and then you have an unpleasant surprise tomorrow if you go to your polling station. You can't cast a ballot.
Yes, 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 yes.
Myvote.wi.gov, and then get out and vote tomorrow. Be a voter, baby.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Calvin, are you a voter?
I will be after work tomorrow.
Yeah, excellent. You will. We're
excellent.
All cool.
Yes, that's right. Be a voter. It's a good thing to do. I really wanted to start with this because, again, people have lives and are not nearly as obsessed with politics as I am. But I spent Friday night watching Donald Trump's rally in Montana.
You're doing okay now?
Yeah, I think I finally shook off the effects from that. And I also, was it on Thursday that she was in Michigan or Wednesday when she was in Michigan?
That was Thursday, I believe.
Thursday when, yeah, she was in Michigan. I watched that rally.
Yeah.
Also, I watched it live.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people there.
Were there, though, Jane?
That's what popped up over the weekend.
Yeah.
Saturday evening, always reliable Dinesh D'Souza.
Good old 2,000 mules.
Yep, 2,000 mules, which had to be pulled. The, mm-hmm, the actual distributor of the film pulled it because it's based on lies.
Yeah.
So 2,000 mules, you can't watch it anymore because it was pulled because it's based on lies. So highly reliable Dinesh D'Souza posted a photo on social media of Vice President Harris in Michigan exiting her airplane with a crowd of supporters watching. Two reflections from the plane were circled in red, trying to show that despite the crowd, there was no one in the reflection. Ooh.
I should have known. I should have asked Calvin to cue up the X-Files theme song.
So, by Sunday, former President Donald Trump, over at his failing platform, posted this, quote, "Has anyone noticed that Kamala cheated," all caps, "at the airport? There was nobody at the plane. She AI'd it and showed a massive crowd of so-called followers," in all caps, "but they didn't exist. She was turned in by a maintenance worker at the airport when he noticed the fake crowd picture, but there was nobody there. Later confirmed by the reflection on the mirror-like finish on the vice presidential plane. She's a cheater." This man is seriously not well.
No, I agree.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is seriously unwell. And I haven't seen this covered nearly enough on some of the bigger outlets.
The same outlets that made it their bread and butter talking about Joseph Biden's mental acuity.
For 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
For 3.5 weeks.
How many, you said that you the New York Times posted how many articles about Joe Biden's age?
Oh my gosh, there were like 100.
Yeah. So, and I was thinking about that this weekend too with regard to Donald Trump's health. I'm not even saying it in a sense of like, you know, he's not well enough to be the president. Like, I'm like, he's not well. Why is nobody helping him?
Oh, I think that's a very valid question.
And the whole AI thing has just been, guess what? Caught on like wildfire. People have taken it in, digested it, and now that's their truth.
That's what they're spitting out. So there's a couple of things to point out here. Number one, there was no reflection of people in the plane because they're not allowed to stand right next to the plane when it's landing.
That happens at every airport. I don't know if you know this, but you're not allowed to stand near any plane when they're landing.
So the crowd is back a ways from the plane, depending upon where you look at these pictures. And there are a number of different angles.
Yeah.
And there were a number of media outlets there covering this live, which I watched. This is disturbing, and people should be genuinely disturbed that Donald Trump appears to have lost touch with reality.
Yeah, and I want to just, from a pure financial part point of view, before you take in the idea that it was AI and that this is all like, you know, computer generated, AI is not great at that job. There was a picture that was going around of Donald Trump surrounded by beautiful black women. And people were like saying, you see, they don't want you to know that black people love Donald Trump too. Well, when you look closer, the face of Donald Trump is not the face. It's an AI generated. And there's another dead giveaway. The woman directly to his right has two thumbs and four other fingers. So if you can't generate that picture, just the picture, tell me how you AI generate a crowd
of about 15,000.
Exactly. Calvin?
Well, and just speaking about that picture of all the six women or whatever in this AI generated picture all look mysteriously like Beyonce as well.
Beyonce loves Trump.
George Conway.
Ah, yes.
No longer married to Kellyanne Conway. We can thank her for alternative facts. George Conway weighing in this morning on MSNBC about Donald Trump's seriously delusional claim that Kamala Harris did not have a big crowd in Michigan. Calvin, let's play clip number two, please.
As I've been yammering about for 5 or 6 years now, he's a deeply unwell man. He is a deeply psychologically disturbed individual. If he were a member of your family, you'd be taking him, you'd be staging an intervention and taking him in to a psychiatric hospital. And if Melania and Ivanka and Eric and Don Jr. care about their father, and I assume their father and husband, I assume they do, they would be doing that if they could. He is, as I've been saying, a narcissistic sociopath, a pathological narcissist, and a sociopath as defined by the American Psychiatric Association. And these are, historians will tell you, the traits of authoritarian dictators throughout history. And what we're seeing now is, as you put it, an implosion. And this, I believe, is what ultimately was always going to happen, the final implosion of Donald Trump. I mean, it's like Hitler, when Hitler was moving around divisions that didn't exist in the last 10 days of the war in the Führer bunker. I mean, he has completely lost it. This post is beyond question, delusional. Anybody, I mean, but it was also inevitable, because what's happening here is he realizes he's gotten under more pressure than ever, because he's not just running for the presidency, he's running for his freedom. He's going to go to jail if he does not win the presidency, and he can see that now. And that's why he's doubling down on the unreality. It's partly for self-soothing. Partly it's just because he can't help it. He's a pathological liar, being a sociopath. And what we're watching is, we're going to make fun of it because it helps provoke him into self-destruction, which is what the country needs. But it's actually very, very sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
It genuinely is sad. I feel badly that his family does not even appear to care.
Yeah.
And George Conway is not wrong that he's a pathological liar. In that press conference he had Friday, they fact-checked him. He told a lie. He told two lies a minute. There were 162 lies or misinformative points in that hour speech.
Yeah.
He can't stop himself.
No, he can't. And as I mentioned to you before, when this all started, the tongue was firmly placed in cheek, and you could see that he was kind of winking to the camera as he was trying. And this is like 2015.
Yeah, this is a while back.
You watch a speech from 2015, it's much more clear. It's almost fun for him because he's like, look at me, I'm getting the attention. This is a man who's been surrounded by sycophants, yes men, and a crowd of people who would literally die for him for the past 9 years. This does something to your brain, and this is what we're seeing now. And mashed together the fact that he's 78 years old, and don't get mad at me, he's 78. That's what happens when you get older.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Starting off the show today talking about this just crazy, crazy post Donald Trump posted over the weekend after Kamala Harris and Tim Walz pulling some pretty decent crowds as were doing battleground states last week. And Donald Trump on Sunday posting that this was all AI generated when she was at her rally in Michigan. These aren't real people. This is all a lie. This is not a well man.
No.
This is not a well man. Tony on the live stream says, when you build a cult of personality, he can't be wrong, so he can't be helped.
Absolutely. I mean, my guess is that I wouldn't be surprised if his kids can't even get to him at this point.
I don't know that anyone could.
Yeah, but I mean, like, his inner circle is surrounded not even by his kids anymore. I mean, you know, at most, I'll give it, Don Jr. is probably at his right side, but Don Jr. is swallowing the same tea.
Oh yeah,
Donald Trump Sr. is swallowing.
Oh, absolutely.
And we got a text from John in West Bend listening on WAUK, says maybe the Republicans are hoping Trump wins, then they will invoke the 25th Amendment and have Vance the puppet as POTUS. I do not like subscribing to conspiracy theories, but this is one that when we spoke to Andrew Watkins last week, something that she brought up with the idea that getting Trump in on his popularity, and then all of a sudden one day our dear leader, either the 25th Amendment or something worse, I'm suggesting neither, but then it's he's no longer able to serve. J.D. Vance is now our leader, and he gets and that man will let anything go through.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. Now, Andrea essentially said, for the authors of Project 2025, and don't let the Trump campaign try to tell you that they're not aligned with it, because they absolutely are. But all the architects behind Project 2025 need Trump in there.
Yeah.
To start. That's just the starting point. And once he's in there, mm-hmm. as you said, yeah, maybe they will call the 25th. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not all there.
No, he's not
all there.
And I really, really wish someone would be there for him. I'm not kidding. I'm not being funny. I wish someone would take care of him, because that's not fun to watch. I'm not having a good time watching him spiral out, because I have family who have shown the same sorts of mental inacuity, dementia, and it's not fun in private. It's not fun in public.
No, it's really not. Sherry, hi, friends. Unbelievable that he is so very sick and they don't even know or care. I just think, Sherry, that it's more about they want this agenda through. Yeah. So they don't care.
Yeah. No.
That they really don't care in that way. He is their useful tool.
He's been
a means
to the end to get the Supreme Court flipped.
Yes.
To get the base fired up, to fracture it, to get exactly what they needed, which is a uninformed, ill-informed, rabid majority on their side. And him winning a second term is their final piece to get what they want to do. And then after that, they don't need him anymore.
No, they don't need him.
They can martyr him and say he's the great Donald Trump who served us and we should put his face on Mount Rushmore.
Which he's mentioned.
Yes.
He has mentioned that.
Yeah.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Love you guys, first off. I am a joyful democracy warrior because I don't believe in Project 2025. I believe in Coach Harris, and I believe in Coach Walz. One thing I think that is very, very great about our campaign is if you listen to the speeches, you hear Coach Walz and also Coach Harris talk about unions and retiring with dignity and building wealth for everybody, paid leave, child care tax credits, health care, taxing the billionaire class, rent control, a woman's right to choose, gun safety, LGBTQ+ rights.
Yep, we absolutely love the message coming through, Tom. I mean, it makes us, once again, like you said, joyful and excited.
And hopeful, absolutely. And we have a sound clip, too, Calvin, that I want you to play. This was from her rally, their rally, in Arizona that happened Tuesday. It's all a blur.
Yeah,
it was last week. Yeah, it was last week.
Lots of people.
There were lots of people there in Arizona as well. And this is the mayor of Mesa, Arizona. Mm-hmm. A Republican.
Yes.
Speaking at the Arizona rally for VP Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
The Republican Party has been taken over by extremists that are committed to forcing people in the center of the political spectrum out of the party. So I have something to say to those of us who are in the political middle. You don't owe a damn thing to that political party. In particular, you do not owe anything to a party that is out of touch and is hell-bent on taking our country backward. And by all means, you owe no displaced loyalty to a candidate that is morally and ethically bankrupt. So again, to all of us, I would say, in the spirit of the great Senator John McCain, please join me in putting country over party and stopping Donald Trump and protecting the rule of law, protecting our Constitution, and protecting the democracy of this great country. That is why I'm standing with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz.
Republican mayor of Mesa, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
last week at the Harris-Walz rally in Arizona. I think that invitation is going to spread.
I completely agree. You know, I think I asked the question a couple of weeks ago, you know, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, you know, Michael Steele, you have all these Republicans who are now on the sidelines. They're not in voted power. They're not elected. When would an elected official in the GOP finally say something? And I think all you need is one person to say something, and then you start to see the dominoes drop, and you'll start to see other mayors. And there's a former governor of New Jersey who's come out in favor of Harris, who's a Republican. But once again, I want to see more elected officials
exactly
saying they're don't reject your party. You don't have to change your politics. Just reject what Trumpism is. I do not lose hope that you can pull Trumpism out of the GOP and get somewhere someday. And it's up to you who are elected to do that work. So thank you, Mayor, and thank you for speaking up.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
If you're thinking the same thoughts, you are not alone, mm-hmm. and you don't have to go along.
No, you don't.
You really don't.
And you don't have to be in secret either. The people who are like, I love your show.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Say it from the rooftops.
No, I really...
Really?
If you're a little blue dot in a big red sea...
No, I'm talking about the little red dots who are afraid to tell us, because that's what I'm talking about. No, well, the blue dots, I get that.
Well, that's okay.
Okay.
But you can whisper it.
Yeah. I love your show. Doing good work.
Thank you. News is coming up next. When we return, retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak is going to be joining us. Stay close. We're going to be talking about Project 2025. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can also text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our next guest is a member of the organization called National Security Leaders for America. He has served 6 sea tours with units of the Atlantic and Pacific fleets. He was deployed 7 times to Europe, the Persian Gulf, and the Western and South Pacific. We are so honored to have him here. Retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me aboard.
We are so delighted to have you here. We have talked to a number of members of National Security Leaders for America over the last several months because I think it's important that people understand that not every current or former member of the military is necessarily a Trump supporter. And that's kind of what National Security, well, we'll start with that. What brought you to National Security Leaders for America?
Well, I was in the Navy and I got out and my daughter had brain cancer. I ran for Congress and people used to ask me, why'd you change from an independent to become a Democrat? And I was running in a nearly 2-to-1 Republican district. I said, well, it's the military. They taught me. Everybody has excellent health care. Women get paid from day one, equal pay as men. And you stay in long, you get a career training for a lifetime that serves you well later on. And if you stay in long enough, you get a pension. I used to tell my district, everybody in the military is a Democrat. They just don't realize it.
Well, I think sometimes for some of our listeners that previous guests, there's this assumption that they're all crazy liberals and, you know, therefore they would not support the greatest president in our lifetime. And so tell us a little bit about your experience. You just mentioned that you were an independent, you switched to a Democrat, but you were in the military for a long time.
And I loved it. I wanted to be in there since third grade. And, I truly just enjoyed it. And it wasn't the going to sea as much. It was that coming together as a crew. I mean, where you knew everybody had your back and it was the camaraderie and all, but it was also something else. you really got to know about all Americans, particularly the working people. And that's our enlisted. You know, I mean, that's quite frankly why I'm really taken with Tim Walz as a vice president, Joe candidate. Why? Because, I mean, he didn't master the craft of political rising up through the streams. He actually mastered the craft of being a working man. I mean, he was three jobs. And then that's what our enlisted men do. When General Akhramayev came over from Russia, the Soviet Union and Admiral Krau took him around, aircraft carrier, army installations. At the end of it, he said, Marshal, because he was the highest ranking general they had. What most impressed you about America? He said, your enlisted men.
Wow.
We don't have them. I got to tell you, Krau then explained when he talked about it, that those are the people who speak up and tell you like it is. Now, that might seem small, but I can tell you times where one of those young men and women of America, the working people, grabbed my elbow one time, and he had told me to take a come hard right. I kept going. He grabbed it and said, Captain, actually, he commanded me, turn right now. I put that in the military, I've got great faith in the people of America. I mean, they come from all over. Oh, today, if you look at the statistics, about 42% come from about five states, all in the South.
Yeah.
We need to get that more broad to make sure. But I think that's where you learn. My big experience, you had a lot of great times, went to war, did that. I mean, I commanded carry a battle group and all in a war. But I got to tell you, it was the people I was most taken with. And I do not say that lightly.
That just speaks very highly. It really does. And I can also appreciate, because of all your experience and all of your firsthand experience working with, as you said, the working people, when you got your first look at Project 2025, what was your impression after you slogged through the 953 pages of it?
You know, probably exactly what I told you. Here is that young enlisted man or woman that actually could feel free, as Admiral Krau said, to speak their mind, not what someone else tries to tell you is the right way. And I think there's this, it just seems like there's a desire in this document for a codification of how you must think. So when you see them saying, well, you know, you got to take every regulation, every law that has the word abortion in it and remove it. I don't understand that. You know, this is, how can you say what words can or can't be used? I mean, that's kind of but it's there in Project 2025. My real concern as I read it, though, three major ones. The first was international. We're at a pretty tenuous time right now. We have Russia in Europe. We have China in the Western Pacific. We have in the Middle East, we have Iran. And then there's that small little state that always is a little rascal, North Korea. And you have seen them over this past year or two slowly build a coalition. Right now, we are not the America superpower of the 50s where we were Iber Aulus. We need allies. When I arrived with my carrier battle group in the Indian Ocean to begin the strikes of our battle group against Afghanistan, I had 12 U.S. ships. But waiting there for me to join up with us was a larger armada of other nations that had come there to be with us. You know, they were there. Japan, for the first time, was outside the Sea of Japan since World War II with four ships. So I step back and say, our alliances, NATO, how we bind with North Korea, South Korea, how we stand firm with them, whether it's Taiwan or Ukraine, I'm worried, first and foremost, that understanding, that diplomacy first, backed by a strong deterrence of allies, we can't do it all ourselves, is what I'm, my primary concern. The other two I'm happy to talk about, but that is first and foremost because of my background, what I'm concerned about.
Absolutely, because you've seen it firsthand and you know how diplomacy works and you know the importance of allies. And the whole suggestion from Donald Trump and a second Trump administration that they would consider leaving NATO would be like a big birthday gift for Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-il and all of these guys. That's like their biggest dream, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely right. They offer, and this is what is the most concerning, as you look at how our nation has become divided, of how we could have a commander-in-chief, a president, that can actually put down nations in Africa and call them nothing nations, or how they can reach over to Europe and brusquely treat them as though they're not equal. You know, we can't do this by ourselves. We need them. And that, to me, is the major concern. I can remember when, and it's kind of humorous, but I'll never forget, and this goes to people who don't think they're there for us, when the Italians were a little late sending their ship over, Minister of Defense sent a message out, and he said, "We're coming, he's just deployed." And then he said, "Many people," and this was in a message, "might think of us Italians as only lovers, but America has been struck, because it was after 9/11, and we will be there for them." I'll never forget, and I know this is a story, but that's what sailors talk about to make a point. When I went with my wife, finally convinced someone to marry me at the age of 49. I claim it was too much seat time, but I'm not so sure. But in any case, went there, and we're out there in southern France, and wonderful place. Walk out in this little veranda on this lawn and look into the distance. And in the middle of this meadow, in the twilight, were about 300 people sitting in tuxedos, sitting in gowns in a field with an orchestra playing. And I went back inside. I said, "Can you tell me what's going on?" And he said, "Yes. Every year the village comes together and celebrates their liberation when the GIs came through."
Wow.
They haven't forgotten.
Wow.
And I think that's what we have to understand, that right now you've got an authoritarian world order that is arising, where they offer security and stability, just not freedoms. They say that democracy isn't giving you security and stability. I mean, look at times where we had the charge right up the White, up the Capitol. And they say, "See, that wouldn't be permitted for us," as they say to leaders in Africa, which in the future is going to be one of the biggest economic markets for us. And so it is the economy right now, today, when you have this intersection between geopolitics, technology, and global economies intersecting, every issue is a national security issue, whether it's making chips or whether it's making sure that we have the rights to a base in the Solomon Islands, not a security agreement, an economic agreement that China has with them in order to help us get to Taiwan if we need to.
If you're just tuning in right now, we are talking to retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak from National Security Leaders for America about the importance of, you know, our U.S. military staying in NATO and how Project 2025 can really pose a threat to both of them. And something you just brought up was the rise of the authoritarian model around the world. And one of the things that Donald Trump has done is made it seem okay that these leaders are around and they're good guys and, you know, I'm friends with them and I can take care of them. But, you know, the conversation I always try to have with people who buy that is these are leaders who are suppressing the thing that you are most critical about, which is retaining your freedom, living in a free country. If that happens here, those freedoms go away. Just because you side with dear leader doesn't mean one day that they decide you're not loyal enough for them. So it always seems weird to me that they can put aside freedoms for winning and having their guy in charge. And as a military person, I know that this has to not be something that you see as what you fought for all those years in your service.
I think you're correct. It gets to my second point I'm concerned about. Alexander Hamilton said, "We have nothing to fear from an independent judiciary branch. We have everything to fear if there is to be a union between the judiciary branch and either the legislative or executive branch. That is why every president has had the norm and accepted it that there is a barrier between the Justice Department, really an arm of the justice system, and the White House. If you remove that, particularly if you say, I then am going to appoint somebody who I tell who to prosecute, who to investigate, and then to give the guys that it's okay, they appoint because your person is in charge of the Justice Department, and you appoint someone there to then go and investigate as a special counsel under the guise of saying, look, we think that counterterrorism is a concern. Now, that could be where there is a movement that isn't violent, but troublesome. And all of a sudden, you begin to have an investigation for criminal intent, which all it needs is Justice Department to do an investigation is criminal intent. And then you're there looking at, I don't know, Black Lives Matter movement and all. Infringement upon freedom isn't just saying you can't say the word abortion in the law. It goes well beyond that to where people are hindered because they do think, as in China, if I say something wrong about the government, I could be investigated.
Absolutely. We have a break coming up. We will be back with you if you can stay with us for one more break. Retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak is our guest. He's with National Security Leaders for America. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll keep on spending sunny days this way. We're gonna talk and laugh our time away. I feel it coming closer day by day. Life would be ecstasy, you and me endlessly moving on a Sunday afternoon. Really couldn't get away.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Just a reminder, tomorrow is primary day. Two very important constitutional amendments are going to be on the ballot. No matter where you are in Wisconsin, these two constitutional amendments will essentially take more spending power away from the governor in emergency situations and give it to the legislature. Wisconsin's legislature has the distinction of being one of the least productive legislatures in the country.
Hey, be nice. They're on a 10-month vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to take stabs at them while they're away. But yes, so go tomorrow. Please vote. Be a voter. It's very, very important. Vote no.
Yep.
Just saying. All right. Our guest is retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak. He is with the group that we've spoken to many times before, National Security Leaders for America. And we're talking about Project 2025. In my estimation, sir, I don't care what the Trump campaign says that they know nothing about Project 2025. I think that's baloney. And I think if he gets reelected, the architects behind this will begin to implement Project 2025 immediately. Now, what would that mean for politicizing our military? How exactly would that work?
Well, there's two ways to look at that, I think. One is, I think, of actually more concern. And that is, if the president of the United States decided that, to use the loophole in what's called posse comitatus, where it is forbidden that you can ever use your military to enforce civil laws and things, you just can't do it. Now, that we got to keep in mind, posse comitatus wasn't passed until after Grant left office, because Grant had used the federal troops to crush the Ku Klux Klan when they tried to rise up during the resurrection, restoration.
Yep.
Thank you. But when the new president came in, the Congress passed this so that federal troops couldn't be it. And posse means posse, like in the West, that now the sheriffs locally could raise people up to enforce the law. So it was actually to permit the Ku Klux Klan to rise again. Jim Crow laws, is that's when it began. Today, we like it because, despite that beginning, because you can't use the military to all of a sudden like create martial law or anything. However, there's a big loophole called the Insurrection Act that George Washington and Mezzi President, President Obama has used. And that Insurrection Act permits you to use the military if there's a rebellion, but also if to enforce federal law or like civil rights. That's what Eisenhower did. You know, Lyndon Baines Johnson used them for the march from Selma to Montgomery. It's had good use at times. However, what does that mean if someone says, I am going to use them in order, like they wanted to in Oregon, to have federal troops all of a sudden intervene out there to try to restore what it deemed undue protest? And so how violent are protests? What's the spectrum? I mean, and so that is where you begin to get concerned, could our military be misused under that under the Insurrection Act? I mean, right now, we kind of are doing it to some degree. There's something else, a third one called Title 32. And again, President Obama, President Biden, President Trump have all used it to say, we, the government, are going to pay for the federalization, not pay for you, state governor, to use your, because you're in charge of the National Guard on the borders to, quote, protect our borders. We've done that. But what's the next step after that? Because the Supreme Court made a decision back in the 1820s or 30s that if the president uses the military under the Insurrection Act, he cannot be held liable. It is official, much like the Supreme Court kind of said recently about it. And so this is a pretty interesting area right here. The second one is, and I'm asked this a lot, politicizing our military. And often people think, if you're given an illegal order, what would someone do at the top? I have to first say, I think that is the least of our concerns. Could it happen? Yes. We start right off as officers with civil-military relations. It is ingrained in us. But that doesn't mean we've had retired generals that have argued for using the military, such as General Flynn. And so there's nothing that says the president can't call back to active service those type of individuals. But can it also impede other things where, for example, 2025 says we must go through and stop Marxist leanings within any of the doctrines taught at our service academies? My gosh. I backpack through communist Eastern Europe as a young officer, through communist China, the first year they opened it up to individual travel. You can tell I was a bachelor at the time. So. I should have been looking for somebody during that period of time. And man, I came back and I do remember the NIS, you know, you see them on television. Well, they're a lot tougher. I felt like I was guilty for going back to see where my father had emigrated from, you know, in Eastern Europe. No, but all of a sudden, not to know your adversary or whatever it is, understand something. I mean, where's the, you know, you want your officers to have understanding. So can it impede you? Yes. But we also have to think about something else. We can't go overboard the other way. And if I might, and perhaps some will disagree with me on this, I know the concern people often had about military people. Jane, you kind of alluded to it, how people think about us military. I can remember when I went up for the Sierra Club endorsement the first time, and I'm in a nearly 2-to-1 Republican district, so I thought I'm going to get the Sierra endorsement locally. Afterwards, one of the board members, when I didn't get it, said, you guys got to wait a while. This one gentleman says he's military, kind of a Vietnam age. Can we trust him? There's still that inkling. And I think that's important to keep in mind that when, in some of the services, when those protests were happening, they asked retired military in some of the services, if they were still working there, to raise their hand and take the oath of allegiance again. And I think there's a fine balance here. Should it be kept in mind? Yes, but I'm not as concerned.
Retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak with National Security Leaders for America has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much, sir, for your service and your insight and your time. It's greatly appreciated. Stay with us. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.